And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Hello, welcome to Inside Conan,
an important Hollywood podcast. Especially now that there's nothing else happening in Hollywood.
My name is Mike Sweeney. I'm a writer on Conan.
I'm Jesse Gaskell, also a writer on Conan. Conan at home right now.
Right. We're talking about how a late night TV show, is being put together when no two members of the staff can be in the same room together.
Yes.
It's an interesting process.
Usually we do everything for it within a big group hug.
Yeah, exactly. Usually there's way too many people. It's like, hey, do we need all 30 of these people to make this thing happen? But
right now it's all Conan by himself at home.
Yes.
He finally learned how to use a computer.
I think he hates his home office now because it's now like the room of pain for him. He has to go in, start up the equipment, do everything by himself. And I literally think when this all is over, he's just going to seal that room off
just
and never go
burn
in there.
It.
Yep. Burn it to the ground.
And our job's gotten really weird too. Cause
yeah.
First of all, there's no schedule. We used to have a very precise daily schedule.
Yes.
And now it's kind of all like, over the place.
Conan shooting things in piecemeal. And then they're being stitched together into a show. Mm-hmm. And so interviews can happen at different times. But then, Matt O'Brien, the head writer, is still trying to figure out what the comedy is going to be for the next day's show. And that determines Conan's introductions. And so that all has to be sorted out. And that could be recorded at any time during the day. So, and you said you experienced something you wrote, like all of a sudden you got a frantic email like, we're recording it now.
Yeah.
There was no notice.
Well, on Friday, I got an email that was like, oh, is the script ready for that sketch? Because Conan's going to do it right now. And so I frantically finished the script and sent it off. And then Conan wasn't able to get to it, I think, because he was recording a podcast. And then he was supposed to do it today. But then by noon, Matt hadn't even heard from him. And so we just put it off, but then Andy's in it and Andy's like, oh, I'm taking my dog to Petco to get groomed. So now I have no idea when it's happening.
Petco is an essential service to groom an animal?
I guess so.
I'm calling the police. I've called the police on Petco and Andy. I want them all jailed.
We haven't recorded it yet. I don't know what's going to happen.
We'll
but there's
see.
A lot of hurry up and wait kind of.
Right. But that's okay because there's so much else to do at home.
Right. Yes. No, I know. I know. I'm not complaining because it's not like I have anywhere else to be.
I am complaining.
But then, we could explain the way that we're actually shooting things. So as writers, when we write something, we log into the Zoom with Conan and Andy, then we have to make ourselves invisible and mute ourselves.
You have a little confab at the top where you can all see and hear each other. And then once it's time to record, you deep six yourselves.
Disappear, yeah. And then
so you're
lurking
in the background. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you ever left your mic on during that by accident? And
no, thank God.
Oh my God, that would not be good.
Well, because that happened, right?
It did happen. I happened during an interview, I think. The producer, Jeff Ross's microphone, he accidentally turned it on and then got a phone call. So he was gabbing on the phone.
And wasn't he making chili?
I think he was bragging about the chili. He had just made.
Which is so perfect because we always joke about how much Jeff Ross loves soup.
Right. It's one step away from soup.
It is.
It's Mexican.
That chili is a soup.
Type of, yes, let's call it a soup. He's lucky he was talking about chili. God knows.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But it was chili.
We left it in the show, right?
Yeah, because it was Frank Smiley, the producer of the bit. Of that interview left it in. It was
during Russell Brand funny. Interview.
Yeah. I think it was like 2 a.m. in London for Russell Brand. And he's, staying up doing this interview. And then this voice from outer space comes on. Anyway, we have a great show today. And we thought we'd talk to one of our writers on the show.
Yeah.
Who can talk about, more about the writing process. And also we wanted to talk to her. Her name is Lori Kilmartin because she's a really great stand-up comic. We've had her on before. She works all the time.
We make fun of her because she's constantly doing stand-up sets. And that's even true now in quarantine.
Yes,
she's still performing all over the world.
All over the world, thanks to Zoom. She's doing sets literally all over in different countries.
Yeah, this was really cool. I wanted to hear about how stand-up is still working right now as an industry.
And she had the answers.
And more.
So why don't we chat with Lori Kilmartin right now?
Okay. Hi, Lori.
Welcome back to the podcast.
You guys, thanks for having me back so quickly. Sure. It's been a couple years, right?
Oh, my God.
Feels like it.
It hasn't been that long. But thank you for making time in your busy daily schedule for us.
You know what? I actually do not have a set tonight, but I will have sets like for the rest of the week.
A stand-up comedy set.
You currently have a brick background for your virtual Zoom background. Do you do that when you're doing stand-up shows?
I do. It's just to get me in the mood, to get the Zoom audience in the mood. Right. You know, they're all sitting on their couches, and I need them to know this is a professional show.
They should have backgrounds with you know, couples sitting behind them at little tables.
In the round. Oh, yeah, they should. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, my God. That's actually a great idea if people can figure it out.
You should put the name of the club I guess you're clubless, right? Are you doing, we might as well talk about it now, the stand-up set you're doing tonight. Is it affiliated with a particular comedy club or no?
It's a lot of different clubs are just sponsoring comedy shows. They're kind of learning how to do it. I did a benefit for Flappers,
which is a last comedy club week.
Flappers
in Burbank.
Yes, yeah. It's for Flappers and Maria Bamford headlined, and Jackie Cation and I each did a set, and we had like almost 300 people.
What?
And so they paid.
And is that bigger than Flappers' capacity?
It's a fire hazard.
it's close to their capacity, but that's, you know, it's just one show that they got, you know, they usually have like 20 shows a week or something like that. So,
wow.
Well, you do 20 shows there a week.
Yes.
So you kept the door.
You're legendary on the writing. There's several stand-ups on our Conan writing staff. I don't think anyone does more sets per week than you.
Well, it certainly has paid off in my level of success. That's what I have
to
say.
You work all the time, man. You'll headline across the country. Don't get
you don't
me
do it for
bragging
the money.
About you.
You do it for the pure art of it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Wait, so 300 people signed up for this and they all paid, I assume?
Flappers sold tickets and then they got the Zoom link after they bought a ticket. And they were $10 each. So they made maybe like $2,500 for that night. The club did.
Wow.
And they didn't have to pay, you know, busboys.
Yes.
So sure. All profit for them.
They're living large. Like all clubs now.
Horrible new view into the future. So those 300 people, I assume you can't see them, but you can hear their mics.
You know, in Zoom, there's gallery pages. And so there was like, I don't know, several pages, you know, like in the 20s of pages of people. And you could kind of flip through the pages while the other comics are on stage and check people out and see who's doing what. And it's also a way for whoever is hosting this show to kind of figure out who's making noise. If someone's making noise or if someone's heckling, you can mute
them.
So
they don't have to mute themselves? You want to hear the laughter, I guess.
You want to hear the laughs, right?
Yeah, the best way to do it is to mute everybody and unmute about 10 people. but not everyone's doing that, so sometimes it's a mess. But one show I did recently, they had VIPs, and so people could apply to be a VIP in the showroom, and they're sort of promising they're not going to be on the phone, they're not going to be taking calls or whispering or rustling papers or anything like that. You can still get laughs when you tell a joke if the audio doesn't screw up. I mean, there's like a lot of little things that can go wrong that make you feel terrible. Yeah. But that
more terrible than usual. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Right. You know, it's a substitute. It's not a great one, but it's okay. And it is a way for some comics to make money. I mean, people do Venmo you after the show and stuff like that. But it doesn't replace real comedy work or anything like that. I guess it's a way to stay sharp until we all get to until you know Gretchen Whitmer frees us up, guys, free America, so we can go out.
I have to ask this. When you look through the pages of people in the audience, are some people doing weird stuff or like trying to be funny?
A lot of people are holding pets.
Okay.
People look like they're clutching onto anything to feel some sort of comfort. Like I've never actually felt like comedy was more necessary. Like usually at a stand-up club, you know, people pop in and you don't know how they got tickets. Sometimes it's like a Groupon or they were forced into it by friends or something. And then it feels like everyone who takes the time to download Zoom and go in and figure it out really, really wants to be there and really, really wants to hear the show. And so for the most part, they seem more grateful than a regular audience, because after the show, a regular audience will, you know, come up to the comic next to you and go, "You are my favorite." And you're like, "I'm right here." The people that are there seem pretty grateful that they're getting a live show. I think people are getting sick of content in a way.
And like their spouses.
Yes. But I mean, even if you watch like Netflix or something, if you watch a special, it's, you know, obviously highly produced, but I think people like the potential for things to go wrong and everything and the live element of a Zoom show.
That makes sense. Laura, you mentioned something I was really keen to ask about, which is hecklers on Zoom. Are there hecklers on Zoom?
There.
Well, and you're really good at dealing with hecklers, we have to say. Laura's like legendarily good at it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, in a club, it's different because you can see them. Like, if you get heckled and you have to scroll through 8 pages of people, it's ruined.
Who
you
said can't, that?
That's
you can't. Show yourself.
I'll scroll down so to you. Don't make me scroll down.
So, yeah, so that kind of messes with that.
What kind of asshole
would... hecklers as much as people not realizing their whispers can be heard, or there's people just moving papers and that will destroy a joke for 150 people because someone's moving a pile of papers over. It's stuff that they don't realize.
So, Lori, so you said big clubs are organizing shows right now. What about like smaller indie type clubs?
Yes.
Is that happening too?
I just said yes to a show out of Boulder. It's weird because you can do any show as long as you're awake time and that time zone. Jackie Cation just did a show like 11 in the morning for European fans. Oh, and they had a bunch of people sign in. So it is.
Yeah, you could do
cool
a world tour right now, finally.
I could.
The great cities of Europe.
For the East Coast, most of the shows start at 9 and then West Coast is 6 p.m. So that's how most of the American shows are kind of using that time frame. So everyone can log in as many people as possible.
I love that everyone's at home and they're still sticking to like, oh no, 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Which I thought everyone was asleep now at 9. I'm in bed at 9:10. Are you going to bed earlier than usual under these conditions, or do you find yourself staying up later?
I have a 13-year-old son, and he does this thing where he finishes all of his schoolwork in 2 days because they give him the whole week on Monday. And then he lives like a rock star Wednesday through Sunday. So he's up very late. And
if a rock star lived with their mother.
Yeah.
There's certain limitations.
he loves anime, so I started watching anime with him to, you know, be a good mom and be into his interests.
Like, but keep an eye on him.
The stuff he's watching was really good. So we watch a couple episodes, like starting at 11:30 at night, we'll bang out a couple and then I go to bed. Yeah.
You are a good mom. Watching anime with your child. That's very impressive.
It's really good stuff, Mike. You just don't understand.
No, I get it. I'm a manga guy myself.
Lori's doing YouTube rants about anime now. But so you mentioned you live with your son and your mom, right?
She lives with me. I'd like to point that out.
Sorry.
That's how it works.
Your mother lives with you. You take care of your mother, which is very saintly of you. Does that affect how you can perform from home? I mean, like, are you worried that they're going to hear something that you don't want them to hear?
My mom knows that I want her to die, and so she's not thrown off by my jokes. But my son doesn't know everything I'm saying about him, and I'm making some stuff up too. So then I sort of like whisper it a little bit, but I do it from right here where I'm doing this, and I just put notes on the door, "Do not disturb," which my mom opens the door constantly. She'll
that's her cue to come in.
Well. It really is.
No wonder you want to off her. There's no excuse for that behavior. Does she watch anime with you and your son? That might be a
No.
That could be the bonding. That maybe that's what's missing from your relationship. So your mother, did she barges in when you're doing stand-up? I would pay to see your stand-up show if your mother got it.
I know.
That sounds great.
You guys could do a team bit.
She doesn't barge in. She sort of wanders in. And so because I have like a virtual background, right. I just start to see pieces of her come into focus as she comes towards me. And
it's like a horror movie. A
yeah, it is really. Because I have the headphones in and I'm talking, so I don't really, you know, I'm not.
She's
I'm
like
not
the
really.
Girl from The Ring.
Why don't we talk about the writing? Because a lot of people have been, and by a lot of people, I mean Jesse and I, we're curious. No, people have asked how the writing's being done for these Conan at Home shows. So, I mean, you write a lot of sketch comedy, but you also...
No, I don't.
Well, you know, that's not true. You pitch a ton of sketch stuff.
Oh, I pitch a ton.
You do tons of sketch stuff on the show, but your specialty is the monologue.
Yeah, that's the more fun part. Yeah. So I wish.
Is that more fun for you?
Yeah, I really loved our routine that we had when we were in the studio, and I really miss it a lot. You know, like Brian and I would write jokes, and then we'd get some feedback. We'd be in a little bit with Conan, and then we'd have like maybe a 45 minute afternoon meeting or half hour with Conan, which is always pretty fun, you know?
Yeah.
And then we'd do the mono meeting right before the show, which is, you know, Conan in the dressing room sort of getting into show mode, which is hilarious. And it was always just a ton of laughs.
Yes.
And so I really miss that structure, you know, desperately.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's, I mean, you still are getting premises every day. You're still dealing with daily premises, and you and Brian Kiley, the other monologue writer, are writing jokes. But then once you submit them, it goes through a different tunnel than usual.
It goes into a tunnel of silence.
A black hole. Yeah.
A black hole.
And then you tune in.
That's where our sketches go too, Lori. Don't worry.
Well, the black hole is it allows your brain to just start working over time. And so I really miss being in the studio. I really do.
Me too.
No, you do want that feedback on the stuff you wrote. Yeah. So do you start worrying right away? Like, oh, they didn't, you know, someone didn't like those jokes. Yeah. Or are you mature enough to go?
I expect to be fired during this podcast. So if that doesn't happen, I'll be pretty happy.
You assume that everyone else is on a group email talking about you and what a bad job you're doing. Sure.
And they are. They asked us to distract you with this podcast as they chitter away about you.
We're producing shows a day in advance, so everything is being fully sent to the network a day in advance.
Yeah.
So it's hard to be super topical right now.
Right.
And then Conan also has not done monologues most nights.
Yeah, I mean, he's starting to do something where it's sort of like personal, which, you know, so we're just kind of writing more personal stuff. I think both Brian and I are just like, well, what's this like for me? All right, it's probably like this for Conan too, you know, in terms of worrying about your weight or all that kind of crap. And so he seems to be incorporating that a little bit more into his opening comments. So that's like something I can point to or something. But
yeah.
And plus the news is, I mean, it's always grim, but it's horrific now. So to do topical stuff is really hard, you know, including the delay. It just, there's not many silly little news stories that you'd even want to take time to talk about, you know?
No.
Because even if something silly happens in Florida, you're still like, oh, but a lot of people are dying too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're Floridians, so it's okay.
Right.
Yeah.
They open season.
Have feelings.
But also, the lighter topics always used to be, oh, you can make fun of, you know, bad movies or TV shows or...
Yeah.
And then also sports occasionally is like fodder. Like, none of that stuff's around right now.
It's all shut down.
It's all shut down.
It's an acceleration of like when Trump was elected president, like almost celebrities went away because he was the most famous person in the world and he dominated everything. And he
sucked up all the oxygen.
He did. Like who cared about Kardashians after that? And who cared about a lot of stuff that we used to make fun of?
And so that's a good thing.
I cheers to them. I miss them greatly. All three of them had different takes. And now Trump is like, before he was bumbling, but it wasn't in a way that had threatened the entire earth. I don't know. It just seems so much worse now, what's happening to the United States, that it's hard to even try to find an angle on him that's,
I know, like we always think that we've hit the bottom, and then there's just that's a false bottom, and there's another,
right.
There's quicksand underneath that.
Yes.
And then the whole, imagine the whole second term. It's going to be crazy.
Oh no, stop it.
Yeah. So
you're a heckler.
Yeah, I paid my fucking money. I want to heckle.
No, but I think Conan's doing a little more, just like a minute or two of personal stuff up front, which is something. So
he's been doing a few things that he used to do in the writer's room. Like he'd come in and go, hey, ask me how I did in the if he has glasses on, ask me how I did in the fight, and then turn away and then make his glasses askew and turn forward and go, pretty good, I guess.
Which that's so stupid.
We would laugh at every time because, you know, we enjoy our jobs. And no, but I love when he did it on the show.
The fudge thing. And
I mean, for him, he was saying he literally was doing it in a vacuum, which really, you know, for a comedian, obviously, the way you're talking about with stand up, it's really hard. And it's just him and an iPhone. And so now I think he has Matt O'Brien, the head writer, on Zoom simultaneously. So he's at least it's like there's one other person in the room.
Yes. Yeah.
So that Matt can be just looking at his phone during.
But it's sort of like a halfway between podcast and actual late night monologue, kind of the energy.
Yeah. You know?
It's not so casual that it feels like he's just talking.
Right.
Because we still have time constraints.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he and Matt talk every night. It's like, well, you know, based on the interview length, you know, you kind of work backwards. I mean, everything could be adjusted a little bit time-wise, like the interview, the comedy, and then his opening remarks. But yes, he's kind of reined into like, okay, this should be 2.5 minutes. And then you throw to, you know, a piece with Sona or something like that. So
he is
reined in that way.
Are you, Lori, do you have the capacity or energy right now to write new material of your own? Like, are you performing new stuff?
Yes, I'm working on stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be all Corona based.
Right.
Because the shelf life.
Well, luckily you still hate your mom during quarantine.
You know, it's weird. Like I have this whole chunk about wanting her to die and trying to kill her. And I thought it's honed, and I actually recorded it for an album, and I'm like, surely by the time this is out, she'll be dead. Like I can't revisit. Like I kept thinking my life would change at some point, but it's like Groundhog's Day. I mean, my kid's growing up, so that's a little bit different, but I'm like, I can't believe she's still here. I don't know where else to go besides I actually murdered her and it turns into a confession of a crime.
Right. I mean, if you did.
There are so many confessions.
And, so you know, evidence. There aren't a lot of homicidal comics out there who, I mean, that would be a niche
true.
That you would own.
That could be
that's
your
true.
Stick.
Yeah, there are a lot of sex offenders, but not many murderers. Right. That's true. That's true.
Except you would actually probably have to suffer consequences.
As women should.
Right. Including they'd play this podcast as, could she really have done it? Listen to this. She wrote a chunk about it.
She literally said she was going to.
Well, she's clearly holding on just for spite.
So yeah, maybe, I mean, she's
maybe
82,
reverse psychology.
And she has respiratory problems. Like she's everything COVID was manufactured in a lab for, and yet she's still here.
And you're saying that you want her dead, but you have been safe. I mean, you're not going out and intentionally contracting it.
No,
it home.
I know that if one of us got it, it would be me. And I would be one of those tragedy, like, oh, we can't believe it. A cautionary tale.
And then she would stay alive. And
yeah, that's right.
I love the way Jesse's rehabilitating you. Well, you would deliberately go out and contract the disease. Oh, boy.
Well, I thought I should point out that Lori is a caring daughter. That
very, very caring.
Intentionally given COVID to her mom.
So many comedians just openly, you know, have issues with their parents. And if you go away from stand-ups, people are like, wait, well, you can't say things like that about your parents. It's like comics all hate their parents.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Yeah. So used to it. I hope we're not shocking anyone with these revelations.
I'm always, whenever I see, like, women will post that their mom is their best friend, and I'm like,
oh, brother.
I don't understand.
It's because their mom is standing over their shoulder looking at it.
Some of these Facebook ladies believe it. I swear to God, Jesse.
I can't believe when people take time off from work to go to a grandparent's funeral. I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, that's just an excuse to take time off.
Thank you. Thank you.
Count how many grandparents those people have. Yeah. Like 20.
My grandparents were, you know how they say, like, oh, well, one grandmother's nice, but the other one's mean? All mean.
Wow. So yeah. You have 0 out of 4 grandparents were nurturing?
Oh, for 4. Their loss. I was a wonderful child.
Made you who you are.
No, they sized me up and were like, no, we're not.
We have a listener question for us to answer. And maybe this is something that Lori could weigh in on.
Yes.
Since she knows more about the comedy scene right now.
Hi, Inside Conan. It's Solomon here. I had a question for you guys. I'm a senior in high school getting ready to go to college. And I was wondering, as an incoming freshman, what are some things to do to get into the comedy world in terms of internships, jobs, maybe things to do at your campus? So just wondering if you had any insights as to what I can do during college to get into the comedy world. Thank you.
This is a great time to get into comedy because all the clubs are closed. And
it's a great time to get into anything that's
oh
not
my God.
Nursing. Become a nurse, Solomon.
Seriously, oh my God.
Become a frontliner.
The funniest stuff I see on, like, being created by, like, young people, I mean, so much funny stuff is on TikTok, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. Gosh, really funny. I don't know how that gets monetized or if that leads to things.
Well, but I think at that stage in your career, maybe you shouldn't be thinking about making money off of something. It's just about doing a lot of comedy and
true.
And getting good at it.
And getting good at it, yeah. And that's the time to be bad at it for a while.
Yes. It seems like if you can edit, that's a great skill to have.
You talk about video editing? Like,
yeah, editing your own stuff. Sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Even more so than performing, because you can sort of figure out how to make yourself seem better in editing, you know, once you get your... I don't know.
True.
I'm not really sure. It's what an awful time to be... I feel so bad for this guy, for all these guys, you know?
But, you know, probably every college now has 20 improv teams and stand-up nights, or even like a satirical newspaper where you could meet like-minded people, which is, you know, something you always hear, and it's true, is just meeting other people your age or roughly your age who are into the same thing is kind of a great...
Yeah.
Starting point.
You know, one thing he could do is he could host a comedy show. I mean, there's so many comics that where you could pretty much email anyone, say, are you available Wednesday
find them
at
on
6
Twitter.
PM?
Yeah. They could DM them on Twitter. Yeah.
Is if he could get good at setting up a Zoom room, you know, and good at producing, which means just, you know, making sure everyone has the links that they need and talking to the audience and making sure they know what to do. He could host a show. He doesn't have to even be funny. He could just say, this is my show. I'm hosting it. You know, maybe you could do a joke or two if you wanted to, but if you were nervous, you wouldn't have to. Just introduce the comics. And that's how, you know, you can kind of get into comedy, at least maybe get to know people a little bit. I mean, every stand-up in the world is completely accessible right now. You know, you could...
Have excuses for saying no.
Right. I mean, you can... If there's some people that aren't doing digital shows at all. They refused. Yeah. But I mean, you know, you can contact some comics in London and, you know, at 11 a.m. their time, they could do a show for... you know, you and on the East Coast or whatever. So
yeah, that's a great suggestion. And we've had a couple interns from the Conan show who have gone on to produce comedy shows. I thought that was really smart.
Oh yeah, really for sure. Yeah.
Smart way to kind of make contacts and see a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
Dip your toe into it.
If you can deal with all the nerdy stuff around producing a Zoom show, it's not a bad time to do it.
Well, he starts college in the fall, I guess. And I'm sure by then everything will be back to normal.
And oh, he's a high school senior. Yeah. Oh, I thought he just graduating from college. So, I see. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, he's just, you know,
he still has time.
He probably actually developed Zoom. He's probably an app developer. So he probably would know how to do better than any of us.
We should start a pool. When do you think, if you had to guess, like a comedy club would reopen?
I know a couple. I mean, I'm sure they're all trying to figure it out. Maybe they're all talking to each other. But I know there's a club in Minneapolis that's already planning to, as soon as they can, have limited people in the showroom. Like, you'd never be able to pack it out until there's a vaccine.
Right.
Let's say you have people 6 feet apart. And then the rest of the people watching the show would buy tickets on Zoom. And so maybe the people in the showroom would pay a little bit more. And then the
would
Zoom
they have
people
to wear masks
in the showroom?
Yeah.
Probably because of the spray of laughter. Yeah.
It's
laughter seems particularly problematic.
Yes. Awful. It's really dangerous for the comic if it's
pretty
being
much
aimed
a cough.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So, yeah, the audience would have to be back. And maybe there might have to be plexiglass up.
Oh,
I mean, the more you describe it, the worse it sounds. And yet everything sounds awful, but you're like, all right, let's, I mean, I've worked horrible gigs before. I've worked where there was like, I was on stage, this is in like Elko, Nevada. And then there's a bar in front of me. And then in front of the bar was a line of like quarter slot machines. And then the audience started sitting beyond that. Those are like concentric circles beyond all that. So in terms, I mean, most comics have worked hell gigs like that. So
you
I
win.
Guess telling jokes.
That might be the worst. And I've heard bad ones. The slot machines really pushes that one over the top.
Awful. Awful. So in terms of distractions, it's been worse. You know, it's just it's strange. But I mean, we get used to that stuff pretty quick, just like we're getting used to this.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, there will probably be some things that come out of this that are good innovations, too. Like we may think, this is better than it was before in some ways.
Oh, well, the comic is on the other side of the brick wall. That's a brilliant idea.
Right off the bat, not shaking hands with the MC is great. I mean,
huge,
who knows where those hands have been, what penises they were jerking off before the show. I know I've always gone, why did I just touch this guy? Especially because I know this one.
You might bring your own microphone now.
Yeah. When I did shows, I think it was March 15th might have been my last show in New York. Yeah. And I brought my own phone.
It was like the last possible day that it could have been.
Probably. Yeah. It was a Sunday brunch show, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I brought my own foam cover to put on top of the mic.
A cute one that's personalized. That's
with my closer callback buzzword on it. Oh, yeah.
With your Twitter handle.
You can sell them after the show.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Set up a little table in the back.
Or one that is red so that you could put it on like a clown nose.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I can't count the amount of money I'm going to make after this ends.
Lori, thank you so much.
Yes.
Thanks, you guys.
This was really fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Lori is totally joking about, wanting to offer mom, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
That's what a comic does.
You should end this with a gunshot. That would be great. You could just add that in post.
That's a good cliffhanger, yeah. But was it Lori or was it her mom?
And did Lori kill herself? So many questions.
So many possibilities. Was it Atticus's anime show? Thanks, Lori.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
See you in a few hours.
Yeah, bye. Bye.
And that was Lori Kilmartin, her confession.
Yes.
To killing her mom.
Yeah, but as long as her mother doesn't, or the authorities don't listen to this podcast, everything should work out peachy keen.
I like to imagine, because I listen to so many true crime podcasts, that maybe real detectives listen to this.
She's kind of auditioning, I think, for a real crime podcast.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Like maybe
she wants to be her own Dirty John.
Right. And maybe a producer will reach out and say, okay, you know, if you follow through, we'll have you on.
At this point, though, is one murder really enough for a podcast?
It depends how you do it. You know, if you, if it's really special,
I think one elderly murder feels like not even,
you shouldn't even have to go to jail for that.
Well, that's our show for this week.
Yes. And we'll be back next week. And also, you know what? We love the questions fans have been sending in.
We do.
And if you would be interested in doing so, you can email us insideconanpod@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 323-209-5303.
Yeah, we love hearing from you.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week, unless we're dead. And either way, we like you. Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Produced by Jen Samples.
Engineered and mixed by Will Becton.
Supervising producers are Kevin Bartelt and Aaron Blair.
Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco.
And Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.